This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I'm coming to you today with a message for the month of March 2022, which is taken from the scripture Matthew chapter number 7, verses 3 to 5. And it starts out, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how will you say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eyes." The title of the message for this month and probably the next month, part two, or maybe part three, is "It's Not Them, It's Us." In his famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus outlined a lot of things that, if we look at them for what they are worth, we would have to say if we follow them, there would be peace and harmony throughout the land. He preached faith in God and love for your fellow man. These are the sum total of what the new commandment directed us to follow, which if you go to St. John chapter 13 and verse 34, Jesus says that you should love your neighbor as yourself. And near the end, he addressed things from a more critical and personal level. And among these, we find the passage where he set the standard for how we should interact in relation to one another, especially when it comes to dealing with the imperfections and faults that we all have. Chief among them was the idea of actively trying to school or correct others in their faults, while at the same time ignoring our own faults, sometimes faults that are even worse than the ones we call ourselves trying to correct. In a somewhat scathing rebuke to some of them, Jesus pointedly addressed the idea of how people were to deal with others caught in a fault. What he said is what I am going to address in this message, and as a warning, most of you aren't going to like it, especially if you happen to be black. The reason I am addressing the black community is that over the past few decades, the black community, led largely by black preachers, has made a habit of doing exactly what Jesus was addressing. He started with a question. He asked, "How is it that you can find fault in your brother all the time while ignoring a worse fault in yourself?" Then he asks, How can you advise your brother on what he needs to do to straighten out his life while at the same time your life is far worse? He then finishes by calling them what they are, hypocrites. He then goes on to the summation of the first two verses, which is key to this message to the black community. He goes on to say, first, get rid of your own mess. Then you can see more clearly to help your brother with his mess. Some of you may not like it, but I have to say what God gives me to say. If you don't like it, then that's on you. Talk to him about it, not me. When it comes to the black community in this nation, we are the last group of people to be complaining about others, mostly whites, and how they treat us. Are there racists out there? Most definitely. Do they need to be punished for their actions? You better believe it. However, if you look at what the black community, led by black preachers, not all black preachers, but most, considers racist behavior towards us, you will see much of what Jesus was talking about in verse 5 when he said the word, or used the word, hypocrite. Using Jesus' words, when I look at how we are going about combating racists, it is all totally wrong. Why? Because we are lumping people into that category who don't have a racist bone in their bodies. And how is this happening, you might ask? By setting up all sorts of criteria and tests that if a person doesn't meet them, then they have to be racist. The problem then becomes, most of us in the black community, if put under those same criteria, would be racists ourselves. But thanks to black preachers and activists, we presume to exclude ourselves from the same condition by saying, oh, we can't be racist because we don't have the economic status to force what we believe, or enforce, rather, what we believe on somebody else. Well, if you look at this statement, you might agree with it if you were living back in the 60s through maybe the late 80s. But since then, that is no longer the case, because we have so flooded the halls of Congress and the Senate houses in each state and Washington, D.C., with our influence, that despite our lack of economic clout, we essentially have the ability to force lawmakers to do our bidding or they won't get what they really need, and that is our vote. So we define racism and put politicians in office to make laws supporting our beliefs. And that's not racist, hypocrite, but it goes even further. And I am going to give you examples of the hypocrisy that is rampant in our community, most of which is the result of the ignorance or hypocrisy of these same black preachers. Several years back, I believe in 2007, a white radio talk show host by the name of Don Imus had a guest on his show who referred to a girls' school basketball team which was either mostly or all black as being nappy-headed hoes. H-O-E-S. Imus laughed about it and repeated the statement. The next thing you know, black leadership, led by the Reverends Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, Michael Eric Dyson, Joe the Black Eagle Madison, and others, took action to have Imus fired from his job and be sued along with some other things. They marched, protested, went on national TV and other things until they got him fired. Why the outrage? Because Imus, a white man, disrespected our young black women. But that's not the end of the story. The next thing you know, black women and girls rose up and essentially called these same black leaders hypocrites. Why? Because for years before that, and as it is even today, one segment of our community, hip-hop rappers, thrive on calling these same women and girls 100 times worse than Imus did, as well as using them in lewd, lascivious positions on videos, and these same preachers say absolutely nothing. In fact, at some of their concerts, you can see these preachers sitting in the front row and even getting on stage with them. Those women raised such a stink in the media, they forced these preachers to confront what I call the elephant in the room, their hypocrisy. So what did they do? They did a mini protest in front of Motown Museum here in Detroit, which is black owned and has very little, if any, part in this mess. The big white owned record labels, which make billions off of these rappers, say saw nothing in the way of these protests. And why is this? Because these same rappers give back to their community in the way of food and other things. They probably are a source of funding for Jackson's and Sharpton's organizations. Who wants to bite the hand that feeds them? Hypocrites. A decade ago last month, now I'm recording this for March, but I'm doing this in February, so if you hear this message before then, I'm talking about February 10 years ago, a young black man by the name of Trayvon Martin was killed by a white man after an incident where the white man said he killed him in self-defense. Without going into all the details, the man saw Trayvon acting suspiciously in what is described as a gated community. This man was operating as a neighborhood watch person. He called the police to report the individual, and after giving them a description of how he was dressed, the police told him that they didn't need him to be following him anymore. However, by that time, he had lost sight of him. As he went looking for him, he was jumped from behind by this same young man, and a struggle ensued, which ultimately led to him, Trayvon, being shot and killed. The next thing you know, black leadership, led by the Reverends Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Michael Eric Dyson, Joe the Black Eagle Madison, and others, took action. What did they do? They marched, protested, went on national TV and other things in support of his, Trayvon's, family, and vowed to get justice for Trayvon. All over this nation, black preachers joined together, jumped on planes, and flew to Florida in support of Trayvon's family, and of course to be seen on national TV. You know the rest of the story. What was the cause they were joining in on? Racist white man kills teen because he is black. In recent years, there have been about 10 incidents in which this same cause has been used to unite the black community. And what cause is that? Whites are trying to kill us all off, and we need to unite to stop this threat by any means necessary. Hypocrites. During this same period of time, more than 100 times as many of us have been killed, not at the hands of whites, but other blacks. Not only that, but nearly half of them were children and toddlers who just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Most of them victims of drive-by shootings, and most of those were because of nonsense. In the Trayvon Martin case, all the community leaders in Detroit flew to Florida in support of his family. During that same few days, while they were gone, a couple of toddlers were killed in drive-by shootings here in Detroit. And not one of these preachers spoke out about the genocide going on in our own community. Hypocrites. Time and again, the black community has made it a core belief, being led by black preachers, that our problems are the result of what is being called systemic racism. And as a result, we need to stamp it out now. However, if we examine all of the facts, we have to come to the conclusion that it's not them, it's us. Why do I say this? Because looking at what Jesus says, the problem we need to be addressing first is what we are ignoring, and that is straightening up our community, which in other words means getting the beam out of our eyes before we go around trying to tell others how they should treat us. and blaming them for our problems. Hypocrites. And mind you, if you are ignoring what Jesus says, then pray all you want and it will do you no good. You are on your own. I did a message, if you can go on my website, www.wordofgodministry.net. Go to the, find the link to the track section and look up the track that I did for February called Prerequisites, where it talks about things that you need to do first before you can expect God to fulfill His promises to any individual. But getting back to the message, notice the part where He says, "You will see clearly." This goes along with the message, as I said again last month or month before last, I believe, about prerequisites, and before that having to do with situations that we come in our lives where if you don't do the first thing first, then you will not experience the latter. You can't see clearly as long as you have a beam of hypocrisy blinding you to the truth of your situation, which is your black leaders are blind hypocrites. Remember earlier when I said we were accusing most whites of being something that they aren't? That is because they fail the criteria tests that we throw at them. And what are those tests? They all basically come down to this. If you disagree with us on any issue we put forth, you must be a racist. First of all, that is total nonsense. Just because a white person disagrees with a black person on their views about something along racial lines does not make them a racist. They could very well be disagreeing with you because of the false information or hypocrisy they see in your position, which, by the way, is very well known. Why should any white person, including some racists, agree with people known for their ignorance and hypocrisy that don't respect themselves, blaming their positions on them? Not only that, but they get politicians to enact laws punishing them for something they haven't done. Well, this is the end of part one. I will get into greater detail about our problem next month or on the next part. And as Jesus says, we need to be able to see things clearly by getting the beam out of our eyes before we go around correcting our brother.